Mark Cuban, he's the owner of the NBA Dallas Mavericks. And it said that one day he wanted to do a little promotion. So he offered a sports radio host, whose name was David Kaplan, he offered him $50,000 to legally change his name to Dallas Maverick. At first, he declined, and so Cuban sweetened the offer, and he said he would give him $100,000, plus give $100,000 to the charity of his choice, if he was willing to change his name to Dallas Maverick for just 1 year. So after some soul-searching, Kaplan came back, and he turned down the offer again, even though he had received so many emails from his fans telling him that he was just crazy for not taking the deal. And the reason he gave was this: I'd be saying I'd do anything for money, and that bothers me. My name is my identity. I'd like to preserve my integrity and credibility. Now, Kaplan may have turned down this money, and I think most of us would think he's crazy to do that. Why? Because it's normal, right? It would seem like the normal thing to do, to change your name for a year for that much money. And it's normal because most people in this world identify themselves with this world, and what matters more in this world than money? I mean, you can do anything in this world if you have money. We say that money makes the world go round. And so to change one's name for a lot of money seems like a very small thing. To change your identity in some way for money seems to be the normal thing that you would do. Now, those who follow Jesus, we also have a name. And that name also implies identity to us. That name is, of course, Christian. We are Christians, and as the name implies, we are little Christs. We follow Christ Jesus and try to exemplify Christ. And that means that we're going to be weird. It means that we have a citizenship that is not of this world, but rather we are citizens of heaven, the kingdom of God. As Jesus said, that he was one who brought forth the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is the point that the Apostle Paul makes in the Bible in the book of Philippians. He's writing here to the city of Philippi, to Christians that live there, to Philippians. And he's writing to them because they're a Roman colony. And so he's writing to them about citizenship because he knows that they understand the concept of citizenship very well. You see, because it was a Roman colony, it was a place that had a sort of a native people to that city, but also now had people from out of that city coming in from a different culture. And as we know, wherever the Romans went, they brought with themselves Roman culture. They would never assimilate. They loved their Roman culture. They were proud that they were citizens of Rome. So wherever they went, they brought Rome with them. And so this would have seemed very weird to the Philippian people. They would have seemed strange, these Romans coming in. Most of them were sort of retired soldiers that were given plots of lands and homes in the city of Philippi that was now conquered by the Romans. And so this is the context for which the book of Philippians in the New Testament was written. And so I'd like to take a look at that right now. And in particular, chapter 3, there's a passage in there that speaks to this concept of citizenship. Beginning in verse 17, going into verse 21. Join together in my fellow example, in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they may be like his glorious body. Now here Paul is speaking to the Christians in Philippi, which Amongst all people were probably the biggest, or should I say smallest minority group there, and would have indeed been a weird compared to the people around them. And they're living here in this city that consists of both colonists and those who are being colonized, right? The people who lived in the city of Philippi and the Romans coming in and settling there. And so they would have understood this concept of citizenship that Paul is using. That's why he uses it here. I mean, they would have clearly understood what it means to live in one place yet belong to another place. They would have understood very clearly what it means to have your body in one location but to have your heart in another location. To have your houses somewhere that's not really your home, or to work somewhere, yet at the same time have your allegiance somewhere else. They would have understood this. And we have these kinds of people even in our society today, people who understand this dual citizenship kind of idea. We call them landed immigrants here in Canada, and in the United States they call them resident aliens. And the description of resident alien is this: a foreigner who is a permanent resident of a country in which he or she resides but does not have citizenship. So they reside in a place that they don't have citizenship. My friends, Christians are resident aliens in this world. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a resident alien in this world. Because yes, although you may reside here in this world, your citizenship is in heaven, another place. And that means you're going to look a little weird to the citizens around you. But how can we know this for sure? How can we know that we are citizens of a different place, citizens of a higher place? Well, we know this because just like the Roman soldiers, we are simply not satisfied with the place we are, and therefore we long for another place. We are living here, yet we long for our home country. And that's how you know. C.S. Lewis wrote in his classic book, Mere Christianity, he said, "Christians are born with creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. If I find in myself a desire that no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that does not prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably, earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it, to suggest the real thing." My friends, we know we are citizens of heaven because we yearn to be there and are never going to be satisfied until we really are. So then the question is, what is required of us now? What is required of Christians who are resident aliens, who live in one place yet belong to another? Well, it's quite simple. We are to, like the Romans, proudly maintain our citizenship identity and seek to make the place where we're living feel more like home. In other words, I guess make the place where we live more like our true home. Not just feel like our home, but to be more like our home. Now, the Romans did this. It was sort of their MO when they would go and they would conquer a new place. They would bring with them not just the Roman people, but they would bring with them the Roman culture, the Roman citizenship. And it wasn't long before Philippi actually looked a lot like Rome. They tried to make every city like a little Rome. And so when the soldiers moved into the city of Philippi, they instituted Roman laws and Roman emperor worship. They built Roman architecture. They set up a Roman democracy. They brought Roman fashion trends with them. They brought Roman ways of thinking and living. They brought Greco-Roman language and other things. They brought modern, all the things from their culture, they brought to that culture. And archaeology, when it goes back and looks at the city of Philippi, and they've actually been able to do that now, what they've discovered is that the city of Philippi eventually became a very Roman city. We know this to be true. And very in the same, very much in the same way, Christians who are citizens of heaven are called to be heaven-like and to bring heaven into our spheres of influence, to bring heaven wherever we go, to bring the kingdom of God into existence. This is very much what is meant by the Lord's Prayer: "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are called to be, in a sense, weird, and to bring that weirdness, that better way of living, that way of the kingdom of heaven into the world that we live in. Yes, that will look weird, but that will be a very good thing. Now, this means that we will never and should never assimilate into this world. We will never and we should never, as Christians, assimilate into this world. So this is hard for us to conceive, I think, in Canada, because in Canada, we have something called dual citizenship. A lot of people have this. It's quite common. We see this as probably a good thing. But really, a lot of countries don't have this concept of dual citizenship. In fact, dual citizenship is often looked down upon by other countries. It's considered detestable, and most other countries actually don't allow this. They say you have to be a member of only one kingdom, one country, because they have this idea that your loyalty would be divided. You can't be loyal to two different countries. And so we lived in China for a time, me and my wife, and the Chinese, how they view citizenship is you can only have one citizenship, you must be loyal to China, and if you change your citizenship to another country, you automatically forfeit your Chinese citizenship, and it's very difficult, sometimes impossible, to regain it back. And when you lose your citizenship, you lose with it all the benefits and privileges. And this is exactly how our heavenly citizenship works. If we call ourselves Christians, we cannot be citizens too of this world, because according to the kingdom of God, it does not allow dual citizenship. Okay? The kingdom of heaven does not allow dual citizenship. The Bible says very clearly that we cannot have two masters. We will either love one or hate the other, or vice versa. This is because the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, it's two different things. They are completely diametrically opposed. So although you may try to have dual citizenship, it really just doesn't work. Practically, in a number of ways, it just doesn't work out. Therefore, if we've assimilated into this world, we look normal because we look like the world around us. But if we're going to be citizens of heaven, and we truly are, then we would not have assimilated into this world, and we will look very weird to those around us. Christians need to be totally weird in a heaven kind of a way, and that's wonderful. But the question is, how might we do this? How might we maintain our kingdom identity when we're living in a place that is not our home? How do we maintain our kingdom citizenship and not assimilate into this world? Well, the Philippians passage makes it very clear. It says we are to be focused on heavenly things more than earthly things. Be focused on heavenly things, not on earthly things. It lays this out to us in verse 19 and 20, which says, "Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." See, normal people have their mindsets on the things of this world, but weird people have their minds set on things above, on heavenly matters, right? And they're focused on Jesus, the coming Lord, who's going to come from that place and institute the kingdom of heaven. And that's going to be a place where only the citizens of heaven are going to dwell. And let us not miss this, because I think this is so, so huge. Citizens of this world are more focused on the things of this world, and citizens of heaven are more focused on the things of heaven. And the implications of this are huge. So I want to unpack them a little bit for you right now, if I could. Paul says here that the citizens of this world have their stomach as their God. Now, it's not just talking about food here. Stomach was sort of an illustrative way of talking about your wants and desires. So what Paul is saying here is that your wants and your desires are your focus. They're your God. That is why to be normal is to seek for money, right? Normal would be to change your name, to change your identity to money, because your identity is in your money. That is why it's normal maybe to put work as a priority over friends or family or your faith or volunteering or something like that, because work gets you money. That's why it's normal to want to have friends around you that are fun and are going to benefit you rather than having friends that are needy, right? This is normal. This is a worldly self-centered attitude, and it's normal and it's all around us. And this is often, I think, what the average Christian in Canada today struggles with. I know that something is at work in me, because sometimes when I go to volunteer to give my time to someone or some effort, I'll often, you know, think to myself, and not always consciously, but maybe subconsciously, I'll think, like, why am I doing this? I'll say it doesn't benefit me at all. I could be at home enjoying myself or having fun, or I could be, you know, doing these projects around the house or these projects, you know, for me. But why am I out here doing this thing, right? I'm not getting anything in return. I'm not getting paid for this. And so this is what kind of a battle that goes on within me. And I think if we were honest, a lot of us would say it goes on in us as well. And it's because at that moment in time, I'm choosing to focus on the things of this world, not the things of heaven. So I'm focusing on the things of this world, like, how is this benefiting me now? My stomach is my God in that moment. And what I need to do is I need to reorient my focus and focus on the things of heaven. If I do that, then my attitude begins to change. Instead of just looking at things and how they benefit me here on earth, I'm actually going to look at how are things going to benefit my citizenship in heaven. Not am I storing up for myself treasures here on earth, but am I storing up for myself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal? Where am I storing my treasure? Instead of seeing volunteering as doing a menial task, I see it that I'm actually serving God himself, because God said to me that when I serve the least of these, I'm actually serving him. And he actually tied this into the kingdom of God and our salvation and where we're going when we die. He tied it into that, Matthew chapter 23 and 24. So it's very key. Instead of looking to money for motivation, I need to look to God and realize that, you know what? God did everything for me. He gave up all of his riches, his most prized possession, his one and only son for me. So to serve or to give away or to be generous with the things I have in this world, well, that would just be, you know, gratitude for what God has given me. You know, who am I to be stingy with what I have when God was so generous to me with what he had? And because of that, now I am a citizen of heaven and I will be with him forever in the kingdom of heaven. My friends, see, it changes our perspective. You see that? It drastically changes our perspective when we take our focus off the things of this world and focus them on to the things of heaven. It's normal to focus on the things of this world, but it's weird to have a heavenly focus, but that's what we're called to do. The question is, how do we then do that? How do we keep our focus on the things above? Well, scripture, and specifically this scripture that we've been looking at today from Philippians chapter 3, it actually comes out and very clearly tells us. It says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So what Paul is saying here is very simple. He's saying, follow my example. He says another part of scripture, he says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. He's saying, you know, I'm a Christian, which means little Christ, so I'm a representative of Jesus. I look like Jesus. I'm an example of Jesus. So follow my example. You will be like me. And follow others who follow my example, who follow Christ's example. What Paul is saying is just get people around you who are like Jesus and learn from them. Exemplify your life around them. And I think this is so important that we do this. Because we need to develop that Christ-like attitude in us in order to be weird. If we surround ourselves with the things of this world and people of this world and examples of this world, influences of this world, we're going to be influenced that way and we're going to start to look normal like the world around us. If we want to look weird, we have to be around weird people. We need to find people that are weird for Jesus, that are weird in a heavenly kind of way, and saturate ourselves with those people. This is very key. I remember there was times when I was an expat in another country that I would begin to kind of lose focus and I would my identity would be all messed up, and I would like kind of start to forget like who I was, and I would get confused. And what I would do is I would go to the expat community, to those other Canadians, my fellow countrymen, those who had the same culture as me, the same language as me, and I would get around them, and I would hang out with them, and I would be reminded of who I am. So it's the same way with Christians. I remember there's an example, a good example of this was when my wife Lacey and I first became parents. This was an area where we didn't know what weird looked like in the area of parenting because we didn't grow up in Christian homes. We didn't have exemplified for us what it looks like to raise your kids in a Christian way, right? And so we would find people who were weird for Jesus, who were parents, and we would get around them. And we would ask them for advice, and we would see how they parented, and we would sort of take mental notes, and we would read the things that they told us to read. We followed their example as they followed the example of Christ. And this is so important for us to do, my friends. You have to saturate yourselves with Christian community. And how much more important is that today, and how much more difficult is that today in the times that we have? But there's lots of ways to do that, and I would so encourage you to find whatever way works for you and to continue to do that so that you can maintain your heavenly citizenship. But the last thing we need to know is why. Why should we bother living this weird life? Why should we bother living as citizens of heaven when that is a very weird and difficult thing to do? Well, we take a look at the passage lays it out very clearly for us. It says, because Christ is coming back. It's essentially what it says. You should live as citizens of heaven because guess what? The kingdom of heaven is coming to earth. And Jesus is coming as its king to bring it. He's coming on the clouds, and it's going to come at an hour when we don't expect it. He's coming back. And only those who are citizens of heaven are going to be able to stay. Everyone else is going to get evicted, so to speak. Now, this seems very obvious to us, I think. Most Christians know this. They know that the Bible clearly teaches this. But the problem is that we forget it. From time to time, and maybe even from day to day, we tend to forget this. And so it becomes sort of like an intellectual truth, but it stops becoming a functional truth that actually, you know, affects how we function, the things we say, the things we do, that kind of stuff. So I think we need to be very quick to remind ourselves every day that we are citizens of heaven, that Jesus is coming back, and we need to stay aware and prepared. I have a t-shirt that someone bought me, and it says, Jesus is coming, look busy. That's meant to be funny, but there's a lot of truth there, right? Let's say there's some truth there. It's being facetious, but there's truth there. And the truth is that Jesus is coming back, so you best not be spending your time feeding your stomach, accruing treasures in this world, but you better be preparing for his arrival. Listen, if you're a teenager and your parents go away and they're going to be coming back in an hour that you do not know, instead of partying, you best be cleaning up the house, right? Because when he comes back, you're going to want the house to be in order, right? You're going to want to be prepared when he comes. In summary, as Christians, our identity is not normal. In fact, it's the opposite of normal. It's totally weird. It's weird because we identify ourselves for a weird kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom not of this world, right? We're not citizens of this world. We're citizens of heaven. Therefore, we should not assimilate into this kingdom, lest we be confused for citizens of this world. We are heavenly citizens. Therefore, we are called to a higher place. Our citizenship is of a higher place. So why would we compromise ourselves and identify with this lowly place? It reminds me of a story was told to me in a book, actually, that was written by a friend of mine, David Chotka. And in this book, he tells a story of when he was in college, he had a roommate from Nigeria. He was in Bible college, and his roommate said to him that he was going to make a conscious decision to not assimilate into Canada. He said his goal was very clear. His goal was to come to Canada, to come abroad, to study theology, and then to go back to his home in Nigeria and to train the next generation, to go get some knowledge and to give it to those who didn't have the luxury, as he did, to travel abroad and to study. Now, his roommate said that a lot of his countrymen, fellow countrymen, had gone out and tried to do the same thing in various fields of study, but they failed to come back. They would go to these other countries, and they would begin to assimilate into the culture, and they would get sort of enamored with the fancies of the modern world, and they would become, you know, westernized, so to speak, and they wouldn't go back to Nigeria as they had originally planned. And he said this was not going to happen to him. He said he was going to live for Nigeria. And so he dressed weird, he talked weird, he ate really weird food, and he loved it. It was on purpose. He was intentional about this. He didn't care what other people thought. He was always making calls back home to Nigeria, talking to his family and his friends and his village. He was always sort of pointing out those subtle and not so subtle differences between Canadian culture and Nigerian culture. He would put up a Nigerian flag, he would have read Nigerian books, and according to David, he made his room very, very hot. I mean, this was a man who was living on purpose. He was weird, but he was weird on purpose. He chose not to assimilate. He chose to live for a better place. And according to David Chotka, he did fulfill his mission. He did, at the end of his studies, go back home to Nigeria and train up the next generation, unlike many of his colleagues. My friends, we are born for a far grander place than the place we are in now. We are born for the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven, and you need to see this, the kingdom of heaven does not allow dual citizenship. It is not allowed. You're loyal to one or you're loyal to the other. And according to Jesus, there's no in between. No fence sitters. If we want to get to heaven, we must not assimilate, but we must maintain, establish, solidify our heavenly citizenship. And that means that we will look really weird according to the standards of this world. And that, my friends, that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's pray. Oh God, our Father, we know that you are our true Father who lives in our true home. We long for home, reminded of the story of the prodigal son and how he goes away to a foreign land, but he longs to be back at home in the father's arms. And then the end of the story, when he runs into the father's arm and he's finally at home, banqueting around the father's table. Oh Lord, we long for that day. But Lord, it's hard when we live in this foreign land, when our bodies are here, but our hearts are somewhere else. Lord, would you help us? We need your help so much. Oh, Holy Spirit, would you help us to remind us of the words of Jesus? Remind us of our true home, what we're meant for, where we're going. Remind us every day, moment to moment, that Jesus is returning at an hour where we do not know. And so we need to be ready for his return. Oh, would you help us to maintain our heavenly citizenship so that we will look weird to those around us, and that when they're sick and tired of normal, because normal's not working, they'll look at us and they'll say, wow, I want what they got because they got something I don't got. Would you help us to do this, Lord? Because we can't do this on our own through our own effort. We need you to do this in us, to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And would you put people into our lives if we're struggling? Would you put fellow Christians who can be Christ to us? Would you put them into our lives, Lord? And if we are to be those people for others and to gather alongside other people to remind them of their citizenship and to strengthen them, would you then put us into their lives, Lord, or put them on our hearts and convict us so we would know who to call and who to be with? Lord, would you do that? And would you do this all for your glory so that everyone could come to know you, or at least have an opportunity, for we know that the end is coming, and it's coming soon. And we pray this in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Okay, I want to just thank you so much for taking the time for joining us this morning. My prayer and my blessing to you is that God would keep you as a citizen of heaven. And if you have not made that decision yet, that he would help you through his Holy Spirit to take the steps necessary to get there, and that he would maintain you until the time when he comes again. In Jesus' name, amen.